Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Before the scripture is read aloud, will you please pray with me for illumination? God the Creator, God who made all things, we ask your blessing upon our ears and our eyes, your blessing upon our souls, that we might hear your holy word and rejoice. In Christ we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my existing barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself then, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "Oh, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have stored up and prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have the most curious story to tell you. When I first interviewed here at Northwood to become your interim, On that day, I was speaking with a friend of mine in Baltimore who is a professional organist, and I said, "Oh, pray for me. I have this interview in this wonderful church called Northwood, and it's in Silver Spring." And he said, "No way. Silver Spring, did you say? That's going to be a long drive." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what is so odd? I was just in Silver Spring this last week." I said, "Truly, why is that?" He said, "Because I have a distant relative who passed away and left me everything he owned. And he lived in Silver Spring." And I said, "Wow, that's rather good luck. What a blessing. Are you rich?" And he said, "No, I'm going to sell everything and give it away to the relatives in Greece." Those were the last people he was visiting. He died in Greece. This man worked for the government, and he was a spy. And he worked for the CIA for many, many years, never married, accumulated great wealth in the course of his life, bought a huge house in Silver Spring, filled it with treasures from around the world. And no one was ever allowed or invited into his house. And there's no real evidence. I mean, he must have had a housekeeper because it was pretty clean. But there's no evidence that he ever had any visitors or friends over or anything at all, as far as my friend Eric could tell. And I said, "Eric, what all's in that house?" And he said, "Of course, if I tell you, I might have to shoot you." So, oh, dear me. Well, you know, we had the horrible snows this winter, and there was power outages around, and there was a huge water leak in this glorious house that destroyed the basement level and a lot of the floors. There was pipes that broke all over this beautiful, expensive, glorious house of treasures. And several weeks later, I heard from Eric, who said, "Hey, I went to go visit the house in Silver Spring, And I can't put it up for sale until after some legal business is attended to. But boy, is it a mess. Oh my gosh, everything's just ruined. It's going to cost a fortune just to get it on the market. Then Eric said to me the most curious thing. He said, I wish to high heaven that guy would have stored his treasures in heaven. It would have been a lot easier for me than having to deal with his earthly treasures. So he's going to go to great personal expense to get this place and all of its contents sold off so that he can give away the proceeds to the relatives back in Greece. I said, Eric, aren't you tempted to give the proceeds, since how this is entirely found money? The relatives in Greece aren't expecting it. Maybe you should give it all to the church. What do you think? And he said, I am giving my percentage entirely to the church, because you're right, it's all found money. This is a very brave and bold thing to do, my friends, because my friend Eric is not rich himself by any means. He's approaching retirement, and I'm sure it would have helped his bank account, you know, to keep that money. But he trusted that it would be better to give it away. It's just money. In our parable from Jesus today, in this 12th chapter of Luke, it is very easy to read Jesus' words as if he is frustrated, angry with people. What's wrong with you? Especially in that 20th verse when it says, you fool, exclamation point. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. You can't take it with you. Foolishness like this always comes from fearfulness and a lack of trust. We are always concerned in this culture, in this society, about issues of greed. We are afraid who around us will be so greedy as to not take care of us as we grow aged and infirm, or if we become disabled. Many people have lots of insurance against that day because they don't want to be a burden on their children, right? And there is wisdom to this. In our first passage from Colossians, it ends with a verse that, if you do not have it memorized, perhaps you will now. In the New International Version, it reads, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ is all and in all. These are words most worthy to meditate upon as an antidote to fearfulness and a guidance to wisdom. You have all been given great gifts, and each one of you individually has such power, and God is using each of you to accomplish God's will most assuredly. But every time I have seen us come together and put our gifts together, that is when truly amazing and gratifying mission happens. Once upon a time, this church came together to answer to a call from Jesus that there was a school that needed us, all of us, our prayers. Many of us are volunteer service. Many of us are business wisdom. That school was Pathways, one of the very first of its kind, an amazing place where troubled children who were falling through the cracks could be grabbed up and loved and cared for and brought into a sense of security, about their education and about their prospects in this society, that somebody cared, and this was a powerful thing. Today we will break bread and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We will all drink from the same cup symbolically. Today we will celebrate our oneness in Christ Jesus, for that is the most important thing. The broken pieces come together in us. Never be afraid again that Jesus will not use this church. For it is happening over and over and over again, everywhere, with Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. God, who calls us to reach out, empower each of us who are hearing the words of Scripture today, that we might enjoy and delight in this oneness in Christ that gives us the strength and the power to let go of idolatrous things, to stand on the firm ground that is Christ Jesus, to drink up with deep roots all that you have given to us, to thrive in this life and to share the good news. In Christ, I pray and ask this blessing truly. Amen.